The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. In our gospel today, we hear the declaration, again, Jesus preaching from the Sermon on the Mount. Last week we had the beloved Beatitudes, and this week we have the message about salt and light. And next week we'll continue with this Sermon on the Mount. But let's take a look at what Isaiah was saying. Isaiah was speaking on behalf of God to his people about 700 years before Jesus came along. But Jesus knew his scripture, and he followed Isaiah. What was going on at that time, 700 years ago? The people of Israel had been released from bondage in Babylon, and they returned to Jerusalem, but it had been a very difficult captivity. And now the land was run by the Persians. There was violence and chaos. And their forms of worship were dry and stale. And so God took them on and said, "Fasting doesn't count for much when you forget compassion and charity, when you are not taking care of your people." And so Jesus continues this, the compassionate message of giving commitment. We have a reminder that the poor in spirit and the poor are blessed, the merciful, the just, those who are persecuted for righteousness. All are those that God will welcome into the kingdom of heaven. And now Jesus tells us today, we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. What an idea. Of course, in that time, and since earliest times, earliest human records, salt was critical. Food was preserved with salt. They rarely had ways to chill food, and it was critical to their lives as well. And salt was given as a regular ration to the Roman soldiers, salarium. And from that word salarium comes our word salary. So our salary refers to salt and salt. Some years ago, I had the privilege of going to a tour of Poland. And Poland is known for miles and miles of networks of salt mines. At that time, in that time of Poland being really the acme of Northern Europe, from about the 12th to the 15th century, salt was more precious than gold or silver or any other precious metal. It was necessary to be distributed to all the lands that human people knew. And so, this was a major, major source of the economy for Poland, and Poland prospered. But there's something really remarkable about these salt mines. These workers, because Poland was a very strong Christian country, these workers in their spare hours carved out what looked like churches and cathedrals underground, altars and statues and crosses and pews, and even held worship services there. And what a testimony it was to the work that they did to practice their faith, and also the back-breaking work of chipping out salt and raising it by very primitive circumstances miles up to the surface of the world. So salt has always had significance for us, and you think about all the colloquial ways we talk about salt. You've heard the superstitious, you know, throw some salt over your shoulder, it's supposed to protect you. Or we'll say, take it with a grain of salt, which actually means let's be discerning, let's be thoughtful. And we have terms like salty, like, oh, he's a salty character. Or, well, that's an old salt, like an old sailor, an old fisherman is called salt. But what is really most important is for us to think about salt as that precious commodity. And I think that Jesus means for us to be that precious commodity. When you think of that term, salt of the earth, well, that person is the salt of the earth. What does that call forth to you? Doesn't it call forth a sense who is true blue, absolutely reliable, honest, balanced, faithful, trustworthy? Scouting values, right? And with all of that, I think this is Jesus' intention for us. We are to be that precious commodity, that salt that is necessary for life. Now, today, we know health-wise, salt is critical for us. A little bit is just right. Too much, not good. Too little, not good. So again, that brings to us the importance of balance, because in our tradition, we value scripture, tradition, and reason. And salt brings balance. Salt brings savor and flavor. It doesn't overcome like pepper does. It enhances the natural flavor. And I believe that that is what Jesus intends for us to do, is to bring forth the natural flavor of life, to keep balance, to keep reason, to make sure that we're in balance and in favor with God. So, we are to provide that precious element to the world, that sense of just enough, right? Just enough. A little salt, not too much. But to be salt in a critical and essential way. But there is more. Jesus also says that we are the light of the world. Well, think of yourselves as light of the world. That really sounds like a tall order. There's a famous painting that was done in the 19th century by a painter called Hans Holbein. I imagine many of you have seen that picture. The picture is called The Light of the World. And it's in the romantic style of the painters that called themselves Pre-Raphaelites. The picture shows Jesus standing in his tunic, in his robe, with a crown on his head and a lantern. He holds up this lantern and shines a light on the round wooden door of a modest cottage. And this painting is illumined with this light. But there's one essential detail in that painting that is missed by many, and I missed it too. There is no latch on the outside of the door. There's no way to open the door from the outside. The door has to be opened from the inside. And that for us is the message that Jesus asks us, open the door, bring in the light of the world so that you can share my light with other people. That can have great meaning. I grew up in a small mining town in northern Ontario, about 300 miles north of Toronto. And my mother and dad and I lived in a little brick house on a street called Power Street, 44 Power Street. Well, I never thought, why is it called Power Street? I learned after years that it was because it was the first street in the little town to have electric light and power. electric light and power. I kind of chuckled and I thought, well, who knew I lived on a power strip? But in fact, I think that's what Jesus provides for us. He provides for us a power strip. A power strip of our faith and our tradition and our scripture and his teaching, that we too can be empowered. But just like the painting and just like the power strip, we are the ones that have to open the door, and we are the ones that have all the power. So, when's the last time you thought about the significance of light in your world? When is the last time you stood up and watched the stars at night or the moon waxing and waning? When is the time you watched the sun set and recognized what's happening as God continues to work in the darkness, as God works in the darkness of our lives, as well as he works in the light and calls us to be light? Think about what light means. For example, when you see the candles lit in church, when you light candles at your table, perhaps when you light a candle when you're going to pray, this brings the light of the world, doesn't it? It brings the light of the world. Just as our world turning brings us to light, light into darkness and light again. When we see people gathering in countries around the world, in vigils, in memory, holding up candles of light, does that not bring you a sense of hope, a sense of encouragement, a sense that your heart is touched by those who are there to remember, to mourn, to pray, to ask for justice? So, it is up to us, isn't it? It is up to us to be Jesus' power and light company. So let's think about it, friends of Jesus. Are you ready to be salt? Are you ready to be light? Because what we see is a populist movement around the world. And it is our special charism. It is our special charism in what our presiding bishop Michael Curry calls the Episcopal branch of the vine, to be salt and light, and to join with our fellow human beings to stand for the poor. Some of you may have read a quotation by Maya Angelou recently that was in the paper. She said, "I come alone, but I stand with 10,000. The 10,000 that have brought you here. The 10,000 before you that have been faithful. The 10,000 before you, and more and more and more." So we're never alone. We have Jesus as our light of the world, and we have the power that is given to us by God. Not our human wisdom, as St. Paul said, not our human wisdom, but in our discernment, in our prayers, in our spiritual life, to recognize we are given that power and that light. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.